This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm Steve Brooks. I'm here with Chano Fernandez, co-president of Workday. Hi, Chano.
Hi, Steve.
You've been in your new role around 8-9 months. How's it gone in that period? What have you achieved and what are you still to achieve?
First of all, Steve, thanks for your invitation today and having the opportunity to talk to you. It's been an exciting first half of the year. We basically have closed now our third quarter, but clearly we'll be announcing that end of this month in a couple of weeks from now. It's been an exciting growth journey in the first half of the year as we've been publicly sharing and communicating. On top of that, we made the Adaptive acquisition, which has been significant to us in terms of accelerating our planning roadmap, but at the same time, I believe giving us better opportunity to have a broader discussion within the office of the CFO into our financial management, basically opportunities. And we've been working hard into continuing with our innovation around machine learning that we've been presenting here at Workday Rise in Vienna. So it's been quite busy.
And on that Adaptive Insights, what does that mean for the Workday planning?
What we mean, and to be fully honest with you, initially we thought that maybe our idea was that we built Workday planning more for workforce planning analytics, and we want to continue to that route and been dedicated Adaptive more to financial planning, the modeling engine being the clear capability that we were lacking and would have taken us a few years to get there, 2 to 3, you name it. It's a bit of time to market. When we've been reviewing the Adaptive planning application more in detail and when we think about investing in one single solution going forward, we think it is much better to just have one planning roadmap within the planning within the power of one, meaning that Adaptive will basically be covering the full of the planning capabilities, workforce planning, financial planning, sales and operational planning, and so on for us. And we plan to do that fully with the power of one means. And we're expecting to be fully there, not just basically a lip service perspective or a front-end perspective, but really as well from a security and a privacy perspective within the next 12 months with the maximum. Most of the work, Steve, will be completed in 6 to 9 months. In terms of the deeper, particularly security procedures, it will take a little bit longer. The main difference is planning solutions usually do not handle PII data, personal informational data, so they don't need the strength of the security and privacy we need to provide in solutions like Core HR. But to be truly honest, to the power of one, we want to make sure that it's completely alike on everything.
The obvious question then is for existing customers of Workday planning, will they be able to transition at zero cost or what would be the transitional impact to going to Adaptive?
It's a great question. The answer is yes. We've been contacting all of those customers. We've been offering support into that transition. We are partnering and collaborating with them on how to make that happen. We had had already quite a few of them transitioning, and certainly our aim is to partner with them in each individual case to make how we can make that as easy and as simple as possible and potentially even requiring some investments from our side that we're happy to do.
In terms of Adaptive Insights, obviously when you first acquired them, they were set up as an independent business unit and therefore they're selling their FP&A solution into other ERP systems as well. So will that continue even though they're now going to be embedded within Workday?
The answer is a strong yes. We are fully committed to keep Adaptive as agnostic as possible back to the ERP. We understand customers will have different realities in terms of either their timing to move into core financials into the cloud or basically their preference with regarding the ERP background that they might be using today. We need to offer Adaptive basically with all the partnership and connections they had there before. Those will continue and move on. Clearly will put potentially an enhanced, as you can imagine, within the power of one, enhanced integration and more tightly one within the Workday. But the rest assured we're going to protect and give our customers choice in terms of which ERP they want to use Adaptive with.
One of the big announcements from my point of view, I thought, in today's main keynote was around the platform. It's a bit further ahead than I actually thought. You now seem to have the marketplace live. You're bringing the ability for all customers to develop their applications. It's now in next year. How has that process gone and what traction are you getting, especially for third-party vendors in that?
It's a journey, as we described today, and it's going to be a several years journey. I would say, yes, we've made significant progress, and we like to discern the journey into three main steps, if I may say. The first one, which we are already fully into, and even part of the second one, is where customers are looking for compelling business cases into their industries, and we can talk a little bit about that, and use those basically as an extension of the platform. That is happening today. You saw some of the customers there that were announced that have been taken onto the platform, and the interest is quite significant. We are trying to do that with customers that have been users of Workday for longer time, just for the sake that they know better where to extract value and they know better how to interact with the application. The second one I would say is broader integrations and interoperability capabilities, and we have some of those as well happening, but more into the earlier days. And the third one, which we are not there yet, Steve, but I guess we'll get there, is exactly what you say, potentially some ISVs building up full stacks or applications into our platform. But we'd also been very clear that right now our focus is around what we do, the financials management and HCM management and the analytics around that, and not really yet into what it will be built at a full stack of applications. Yes, I can see, for example, to give you typical where I can see being built, is we'll never do, I don't know, a payroll for Spain or for Switzerland or you name it, at least not is in our plan. Can I see a partner building onto our platform within the Power of One as a whole? Those capabilities, just as an example, the answer is yes, I can see that.
What kind of time scale for that third?
That would be better for the product guys to answer, but I think that would be more the 3 to 5 years time frame away, or maybe 2 to 3 years time frame away than within next year.
One of the things missing from this year's keynote, I felt, although there was a touch on PSA, was around verticalization, which has been mentioned before. What strides are you making in verticalization?
Thanks for the feedback, Steve. It's really welcome and appreciated. I guess it's a question of we try to cover so many things that always something may suffer. We're fully embarked on what Anil announced, in particular on most mature markets, US. We have verticalized fully into education and government, into healthcare, and that is going tremendously well. Accounting center that we've been covering here today, which is basically bringing operational third-party data from other systems into our core financial management data, is quite important in terms of having a strong solution and point of view and offering within mainly the financial services, you name it, financials, insurance companies, and so on and so forth. Clearly other verticals as well, but it's more targeted towards those customers. PSA is another one we've been working heavily on, and we had a significant adoption lately on PSA customers where the solution has become much more mature and strong, and that has not been only in the US. We're having great successes in customers, countries like France and some other significant companies like Group Foncia, very significant PSA customers that they're adopting our solution. And by the way, they're adopting it as finance only first to start with.
I would define PSA professional services automation, which is the kind of project management. So if you're talking finance, that doesn't include the HR and the skills ontology, which is a perfect match in a sense, the PSA solution. And SuccessFactors has just announced their latest update 8 and 11, where they are integrating HCM plus project management, resource management together. Is that something you're delivering now, and where are you? If you're just sitting in finance and not an HCM, there seems to be a gap still.
There have been customers within HCM that has been taking on our project management capabilities. That's already there, and that is already delivered. What I meant into these customers is more in-depth professional services automation capabilities, as you're saying, managing the resources, the scheduling, the billing, the projects, especially big projects. And what I meant into these customers is some of them have taken only as a start with into our financial management capabilities, so core financials, including the PSA capabilities. PSA being the capabilities driving them moving to financials with us. If you look at what happens, is clearly finance is very vertical, you know that very well. So if you look at industries like education and government, a student will be the one driving that industry. Then customers will take usually into the platform, HCA and financials. If you look at healthcare, and that is one where we have supply chain capabilities with inventory, right, for healthcare, that's the one driving the industry. So you will have majority of the customers taking on HCA financials, but inventory being the pullover. What I'm saying is today we will already have financial customers into financial services, but clearly accounting center is going to be a significant component of that and a pull into. When you're talking about PSA and into these customers, those are customers that PSA is the driver. Yes, then they're taking either into the platform or how I mentioned into these customers, they're taking more onto the financial capabilities, core financials.
In terms of accounting center, you're seeing that as a driver of things like insurance companies who have lots of financial data, but it doesn't really sit on their financial application.
They want to enrich the, think about their general ledger, their P&L, the AR, the AP. They want to enrich that visibility and analytics from operational third-party systems. Those could be systems like claim management systems or any other type of systems or reimbursements applications or insurance policies or so on and so forth. And they want to have an easy way to how do they bring that data in, how reconciliation happens, how do they have the ability to have better reporting analytics and dashboards in terms of making better decisions and holistic ones around their business.
What are your aims for 2019?
Clearly, it's making sure that we keep doing a good job within our customer satisfaction levels, within our customer reference ability. We need to keep strengthening adoption on the customer base we have today, and we continue to drive growth. Those are the key ones.
That driver of growth, is that focused more on geo growth rather than verticalization outside the US?
No, I would say it's focused on both. The verticalization is driving significant growth, but outside of the core verticals we have already mentioned, so like the ones we mentioned, PSA is already driving very nice growth, significant growth for us. Accounting Center is yet to be delivered, but we've been partnering with some customers as early designers and early adopters programs to be basically working onto this solution, some of them into the insurance industry. It's also geo growth. I would say that, yeah, we're very well known for the large companies, and clearly that's already our bread and butter, where we continue to do very well. We done very well first half of the year. We're very excited and we'll be announcing soon results, but what is coming on the second half. But medium enterprises is going phenomenally well. And as I mentioned before, this is an area where they are adopting more the platform defined as the full core HCM and core financials capabilities at the same time.
Can you define medium enterprise?
We define it more in terms of number of employees. And for us, it's companies usually between 500 and 3,500 employees. There may be some under those and there may be some over those, but 500 and 3,500.
In terms of geographical expansion, you obviously opened Johannesburg and Milan this year. Which regions are you looking to grow the most in next year? Is it Europe, APAC, South America?
We are looking to grow both in the US but as well internationally. Clearly, usually the less developed regions tend to grow faster, the smaller and the bigger numbers. I would be expecting that international will keep growing faster than the US when you look at it next year, though our growth in the US is tremendously solid. If it would be that way because of the mass of that business, we couldn't be delivering the growth percentages we are. In terms of new geographies, we're looking into some potentially in the Asia region. And honestly, we're looking into when is the right time and where to go to Latin America. We are not yet there presence as HQ headquarter companies, but clearly we have many customers into that region.
When we spoke, maybe even 2 years ago, you just opened in Spain. I think the intention was that then gives you the springboard to go into Latin America because you then have the language capability both there and the US. So that's expected to come at some point in time, isn't it?
It is expected at some point in time, yeah. It's a question of when is the right timing for us to do it. It's not a question of the investments. It's not a question in most of the cases of the product capabilities. It's a question of the focus. How much can we dedicate where? Because we're lucky and privileged to count with our customer support, fueling our growth. And I think there is always this question of, do I double down in the UK or do I open a new country? And we know every time we open a new country, it requires attention and focus from a broad team. And this is not just the sales teams, rightly so. But there is always those trade-offs that you need to make and those decisions.
When you spoke, you felt you needed a marquee customer reference and probably 30 or so plus other headquarter companies in that location before it made sense for you guys to actually open a location, didn't it?
We're kind of a little bit unique, right? When we're going into countries, and you look at many years ago when we started in France, we had Sanofi almost being present there. When we went in Spain, Repsol became a customer owned before we officially opened in there. When we went to Korea, it was Samsung, and they were set up operations in Korea. Our solution is well known for highly differentiated value. To start with, it works, to be honest, with core HR in the cloud. It's not something easy at a scale. To start with, it works with large companies, so we try to partner with some of the largest and marquee customers in those countries. That has two aspects. I think one is we felt confident when we try to do that, when we're doing so that the solution will work. If we do a good job, it will give us the right setup in the market. It's also good because you're trying to learn from the most complex ones in terms of what you might be missing and expecting that if you are able to fulfill their capabilities into that, the geographical aspects of the solution, compliance, regulatory, whatever it is, if those could be, you should be able to fulfill the ambitions and the needs of the rest.
You talked about payroll as though you may resurrect the idea of doing payroll again. Is that on the agenda or is it still completely off the agenda?
It is still completely off the agenda. What we will be looking into is we have a good payroll partners portfolio in terms of how we complement and how we're doing each country, which is resonating tremendously well. When you look at into years to come, where internationally medium enterprise will need to become a significant growth engine for us as it is in the US, payroll is going to become a key component for that in terms of having even a stronger or deeper payroll strategy for some of those countries that we even have today.
With the ISVs able to develop on the platform, what you're probably hoping for is an ISV that is a payroll ISV actually developing on the platform, delivering true integration into payroll, possibly in one, possibly in multi-countries onto the Workday platform.
I could see that. I'm not saying that is going to happen, to make it clear, but if you ask me, could you see that happening? Yes, I could see that happening.
What will success look like in 2019?
No, I think we look at success from different metrics. The most obvious ones is the customer satisfaction. The most obvious ones is our happy employees, attrition, especially our top talent employees and so on and so forth. And then, of course, and the third one is the growth, and that is hitting onto the guidance and the numbers we put into the market and to the growth we have. And we feel pretty confident about that today.
98% customer satisfaction on the first of those metrics. Pretty good. How do you improve it?
The official statement would be we are not perfect and we definitely we are not and we would like to get it better. The reality is that it's hard. It's hard. So how do you improve that? I would be very happy to remain on our target, which is 95% plus, as we are managing and going more onto scale, meaning that not scaling to larger customers, but having many more customers where we keep an eye on all projects and implementations going on customers. Honestly, as far as we're able to maintain that 95% customer satisfaction on which we all are rewarded and measured, more than rewarded, measured and rewarded on, that is tremendously important. As we are becoming a larger company, it just became a little bit more difficult task, but I'm pretty confident that we had the right DNA as a company and the right focus and the right prioritization to understand that this is who we are and this is what we need to protect and do whatever it takes to ensure that's taking place.
Do you measure employee satisfaction?
We do measure employee satisfaction very different ways, typical surveys and so on and so forth. But for example, one of the services that some of our customers are taking value of, and if you're going to be here on Thursday, tomorrow, we'll talk about Michael Bush from Great Places to Work will be talking. We have adopted the Great Places to Work methodology fully embedded into Workday solution. That means that I as a manager and I as an employee, with my manager being Anil, I receive a survey every Friday, which is, takes me just 10 seconds to fulfill, which is two questions that will pick from that Great Places to Work survey that is there. Then after I get a significant number of data points, and we have close to 200,000 of data points today of people answering, I get how am I doing as a manager on the different areas and where are people happy and where are people less unhappy. We have a good visibility on that. And certainly we know who our remarkable managers are and who are the ones that need to improve and where are those areas where they need to improve.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Steve.